Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. Let's go back to 1939. The Production Code Administration required that a guy named David O. Selznick defend the use of a certain word in his film, Gone with the Wind. Listen.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Yes, you were expecting that. But fast forward to the present, and basic cable channels have no problem using stronger words and with a lot greater frequency. It's a clip there from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia on the FX network. But it's not just scripted shows that feature swearing these days. Last week, the FCC announced that they would let the use of a certain F word go live on TV without fine under certain circumstances. And that circumstance is when it was uttered by David Ortiz, Big Poppy of the Boston Red Sox, when referring to the Boston Marathon attacks. So have we gotten a little too lax when it comes to swearing these days? Do we swear more often than we should? Have our standards slipped? Or alternatively, is our language catching up with the reality of our lives? Is it good to swear more? As John McWhorter sees things, our idea of profanity is changing, and he's here to tell us why it's a good thing. McWhorter is a linguistics professor at Columbia University and author of What Language Is. Hi, Professor.
Hi, how are you?
Really good to have you. So words like damn and hell, which I can say, I'm told, and I just did. We're not going to get into a lot of other details of words that we can't say. We're going to avoid them here. But those two words that I just said, I would have gotten in a lot of trouble just 20 years ago, 30 years ago, from saying on the air. Things have changed.
They've changed a lot. Although I wouldn't say that we are swearing more than we used to. I honestly believe that we do not swear any more or less than we used to. It's just what we call swearing and what we call profanity. And so, for example, there are what are sometimes called four-letter words that you still can't say on the air and that I certainly will not say. However, I don't think that those words are profane in the sense that, say, a Martian anthropologist would recognize if the Martian saw us. We are not allowed to say them in certain contexts, such as on the air and God Bless the Takeaway and NPR, but it's kind of like throwing rice at a bride. It's now more a gesture than anything else because, if I may, I think you and I both use those words a lot in what would have been considered polite company in 1939. It's just that they're different things that are profane to us now than were profane to somebody in 1939.
We make an effort on broadcast shows and other venues to bleep those words, and I've noticed that those words, four-letter words that are either not allowed by law or they're just not polite, are bleeped, but they're bleeped in a way that you can still hear the word. You know what the word is. One half the syllable is bleeped, and we all know exactly what it is.
Exactly, and that's just it. There was no such thing as bleeping those sorts of words on old radio. You couldn't say them at all. Whereas now, the implication is that not only do we know what they are, but we use them and or we know people who use them all the time, and there's just this idea, a kind of politeness that you don't have them said fully on the air as opposed to us at even a nice restaurant over dinner. I just had a 4th of July party and there were a great many people and, frankly, college-educated people who read The New Yorker. And the word that begins with F and ends with K and has four letters was used all over the place, including where children could pretty much hear it, and nobody thought a thing of it because we are modern people. Those words today are not profanity. Those words are salty. We have other words that are truly profane because all human societies do and we're a human society. But the words that really are profane, we don't use any more than anybody would have said damn in a movie in 1939.
So real offensive words have shifted. How have they changed?
Things have changed in that we have a different kind of profanity, which is that it's considered profane to slander groups. Today, we do not use the N-word. I'm not going to use that on the air. That is not a word that was flying around at my 4th of July party. And by my count, really, there are only two other words like that. One of them begins with C and is a four-letter word and has to do with non-male people, and I'll just leave it there. Then there's another F word that has six letters in it and has to do with same-sex issues. Those are words which we're not going to be using on the air, that you do not toss around, that you would blanch at the possibility of your children using
ever. I'm uncomfortable with you even describing them at this point. We all know what they are, and it's making me feel a little weird even to hear you dance around it.
We don't use those words. Now, the anthropologist, the Martian anthropologist, would notice, wow, there are taboos on certain words. And I think we all agree that those taboos are good. That reflects our concerns in today's society. That's profanity. Well, we don't use them.
Let's talk about those taboos, because forget about a cocktail party. How about Archie Bunker from All in the Family? Not necessarily swearing, but maybe as he got to the heart of some of these curse words, maybe, that profane groups. Listen.
You don't know nothing about Lady Liberty standing there in the harbor with her torch on high, screaming out to all the nations of the world, send me your poor, your deadbeats, your filthy. And all the nations sent them in here. They come swarming in like ants. Your Spanish PRs from the Caribbean.
So we bleeped those out because we're public radio. It wasn't bleeped out when it was on All in the Family, and Archie Bunker, the everyman, just lets them rip.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, that's a very interesting point. I remember that show coming on. I'm getting to be just that old. My mother made me watch it because she thought that it was a great way to get a sense of social issues. And I should say, I'm black, and she was black, too. And the idea was to watch this person and the language he used and watch him being condemned by people, which was the main theme of the show. But this is the thing about All in the Family. Yeah, he let fly with a lot of those words. And notice what had happened to sitcoms just about 4 or 5 years later. Not to condemn the Mary Tyler Moore Show and Bob Newhart, but they were not nearly as in your face. Go a few years after that, and you had Happy Days and Mork and Mindy. That was a short live time right after the Best of the Great Society, when the country was in a really wild mood. Call it about 1970 to 1974. TV didn't keep up with that. And the reason is because he was being what we now see as really profane. And that's when we were deciding that those things were more profane than they used to be.
John McWhorter from Columbia University, where is swearing going? Is there a way to know if we're only down to 3? Is it another 10 years till we're down to 1? Is it 15 years till we're all out of them? We'll invent new ones, I assume.
You know what? I've actually thought about that, because these things do go in cycles. It started out as mostly religion. Then it became sex and excrement, so that people started saying white and dark meat to avoid mentioning limbs and breasts and thighs. And then it became defaming groups. My best guess, and I don't do sci-fi, and so this probably is only so deft, it would be about class. I frankly think that we're moving towards class being the main flashpoint. So in 50 years, maybe expressions that we use now, such as, here's one to bring one up that was very important in the news 2 weeks ago. I hope it's okay for me to say it. Something along the lines of cracker or salt of the earth. I'm trying to think of class slurs. Those might take on a significance that now we don't attribute to them as much, because we think of race and gender and sexual preference as more controversial and more important.
John McWhorter is professor of linguistics at Columbia University and author of What Language Is? Professor, it heartens me to know that a man with such command of the language still loves to swear.
I try my best.
And so do I.
And you're weighing in on profanity and whether the media affects your language.
Well, it does for Simon in Brooklyn. He writes, I started watching The Sopranos, and now I swear all the time. Yeah, I'm sure it was The Sopranos, Simon. And Charles says, I'm a construction worker. I have always and probably will always use colorful metaphors. Attaboy, Charles.
We always want to hear from you. Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE or tweet us at The Takeaway.
Thanks so much for listening. I'm Todd Zwillick.
And I'm Callie Crossley. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.